evening, and we'll get on to the study. Okay, Brother Don, we appreciate you coming by, and welcome everyone here. It's so nice to see you come by to the room today. Well, we've been talking about the context of the beloved of verse 17 of Jude. Now, these are a certain number of verses, these three verses we're going to be talking on for the next, for this part of the study. I'm going to read them. Jude verses 17 through 19. Jude verses 17 through 19. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, we're going to talk on those things. The first thing we took on about 4 weeks ago, I believe it was, we talked about the context of the apostles they were to remember. But here lately we've backtracked somewhat, and we're talking about the context of these in Jude being the beloved. And I had some other scriptures to share, but last week we looked at some scriptures that had to do with context of the time that Jude was in, and we looked at the design of the book last week and noticed some things particular to the letter itself that prove that it is the Word of God. And I asked the saints to check out what I had seen concerning the glorious triune God symbolized in throughout the book, and see if they see that also. But we talked about that and saw a few scriptural examples of that, and then we saw also the context of the Antichrist and how that was represented in the letter, and how this book has to do a time when there will be Antichrist opposition in the tribulation, and it will be and we talked about how just like in the body of Christ, there is opposition from the inside against the things of God. We talked about in that tribulation, in that little flock, there will be opposition to the things of God from the inside, an apostasy as it is, that is as it were and as it will be, that was exhibited in what the very letter speaks about. And we went into those things about that. So but the basic point that we are looking at is the context under which things are spoken. Like this word, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. There were, at the foundational time, apostleship toward the body of Christ, and we saw that. And there was apostleship toward Israel. And we know that there are, Paul mentions being a servant in the body of Christ, and there's a servitude or servants to in the kingdom of heaven, a prophetic program, as we saw in Scripture, and the elect of the body of Christ, and there's a context for the elect of Israel. They're not the same context of things, but they have to do with the how rightly dividing the word of truth, the context in which God administers His will. And there were, the saints of the body of Christ and the saints of the Israel of God program. See, the overall plan concerns the kingdom of God, that overall plan. But there are administrations of that plan, and there's dispensational will according to the plan for the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of God a plan concerning the body of Christ and heavenly places inheritance. And there's the kingdom of God plan concerning the Israel of God and the kingdom of heaven on earth of prophecy. So there is a context from which we are to understand things are mentioned in the Bible, and we're not to put ourselves in those particular contexts, because there's a specific context, or, you know, the quite known saying, all the Bible is for us to know, but it's not all written to us, you know. We are to understand in our doctrine written to us, and when we're reading something other than our doctrine, it is the other people's mail. We can learn from other people's mail, but it's still other people's mail, not addressed to us. We have doctrine directly addressed to us in this dispensation of grace, and it is Romans through Philemon, the 13 epistles of Paul. Now, back to that context of the beloved. We talked about the context specifically about a couple of weeks back. And again, the Bible, what we noticed was a glorious, what I saw is just, it's just wonderfully amazing, the wonders of God's Word, how those roadmaps are there for you to follow, to know the who, what, when, where, why of Scripture, and to be grounded and settled in those things and that are to you and be not moved away from you. That's the context is, you know, you just go into just looking at these Scriptures and about the beloved, and there's a context in which God is what concerning what administration of that association is. There's always that context there that has to do with which administration, which dispensational purpose is in those things of God. Now, I had some label that we looked at. I won't go back over those, but we'll take off from a point. So, about a couple of weeks ago, we were looking into this. We'll take off from the point at which we were looking at some things concerning this, and we will start with the context of the beloved, which I have here is number C. I have 2 Peter. I believe we've looked at this 2 Peter. But I'll tell you what, we'll go on from 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll just continue from there. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now let's read here about Peter addressing his group as the beloved, and see what we can gather from this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, especially. Peter talks here, First Peter, chapter 2, 11 and 12. 1 Peter, chapter 2, 11 and 12. He says here, Peter speaking, he was one of the 12 apostles who would sit on 12 thrones, judging 12 Jewish tribes. Matthew 19:28. So that puts Peter clearly, puts clearly what purpose Peter is under. And Peter, in his letter, speaks, saying, verses 11 and 12, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now, we see here, he says, he beseeches them as strangers and pilgrims. Now, what does that mean? You can go up to the same letter and look at verse 1 of chapter 1. And Peter says, "An apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." These are lands of the Gentiles. He's talking to strangers in those Gentile places. His letter is addressed to strangers in Gentile places. Now, of course, he's talking to, like James 1:1 says, the 12 tribes scattered abroad as the believers on Christ according to the kingdom purpose under which Peter was an apostle. And so when he mentions them as being strangers and pilgrims, that's the association there, Jews in those scattered lands who believe on the kingdom purpose of the Lord. Now, he tells them to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, there are two things here that in that verse 12. They are to have their conversation honest among Gentiles, which puts it in that Jewish doctrinal accord of the kingdom. Gentiles opposite of the ones who he addressed the letter to. And so they are kingdom Jews for that kingdom prophetic purpose. Now another thing he mentions here, he says, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may behold your good works, which they shall behold, they may by your good works which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So that's another point. That day of visitation he talks about has to do with that prophetic will of Christ and his coming for the kingdom and those things that where the Jews in that kingdom will be over those Gentile nations. And so there's an accord here that has to do with the kingdom purpose. Now, this letter here is part of that canon Hebrew through Revelation. Those last letters have to do with that purpose of tribulation and doctrine for it, in which after we are caught up, God will have that administration toward Israel and fulfilling the prophecy program. But what it is God is doing now is, as we see, Peter's is about Jews asking them to act a certain way among Gentiles. It's addressed to Jews. But now, in this dispensation of grace, by our Apostle Paul, we know that this kind of doctrine is not for us or to us. I mean, it's not to us. It's for us to know about, but it's not to us. What we have, right now, God is operating out of a dispensation of grace that he gave Paul for Gentiles. A dispensation of his grace that he gave Paul for Gentiles. Before those last nine letters grouped together in the Bible, which is for the future, you have 13 letters. Now, those 13 letters before those last nine, those 13 letters, Romans through Philemon, have to do with what God is right now purposing, presently, is a dispensation for Gentiles of the grace of God. And so that's what Paul's scriptures are about. And right now, God's purpose is toward the Gentiles. And we learned that from Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. God revealed a mystery to Paul where Gentiles and Jews who believe on Christ, the gospel of Christ, that is, that he died for our sins and is risen, are made fellow heirs. No difference. No difference. That's totally different than the doctrine of Peter that we read in one of those last nine letters. It's totally different in Paul. He's taught, God is right now administering a dispensation of grace for Gentiles, where Jews who believe and Gentiles who believe are one in a body. Not a favorite nation that is above all nations like it's to the prophetic plan, but a fellow heir body where there's no difference. And anyone who is in that body is saved by the gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and risen again the third day according to the scriptures. So I hope you see a difference there. When you get into those last nine letters, God will be dealing with Israel in the future under a tribulation plan, where the concern will be Christ coming to earth. But right now, God has a dispensation of his grace for Gentiles where there's no difference, and there's going to be a body caught up to heavenly places. We'll look into that a little bit more if we have time after the study. Let's go to 1 Peter, another one of those last nine writings, which shows that tribulation purpose is to Israel, and the beloved under that context have to do with Jews toward God's kingdom purpose. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I hope you open your Bibles, folks, because we're looking at the context of people being the beloved of the Lord under what context that is that is shown in Scripture. 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4. I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you're just not just sitting up there listening to me expound on things. I hope you're not doing that. I hope you got your Bible right there and are being a Berean and seeing if these things are so. 1 Peter chapter 4. Because I could mess you up in a New York minute. I hope you got that Bible handy. Praise the Lord for his word. And we're to honor that and see if these things be so. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's look at verse 12. Now notice what it said here. He addresses them as the beloved. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, notice here, they're not to think it strange that concerning a fiery trial which is to try them, as if some strange thing happened to them. They're to be expectant of a fiery trial. That is the prophetic will of God. When Peter wrote it back in Acts, it will be for the sake of the future tribulation Jews. Now, that was the will of God concerning that kingdom plan. Israel, the nation, is subject to the time of Jacob's trouble. They, as a nation, will be subject to wrath and be saved out of it. The believers of that nation will be subject to wrath and be saved out of it. Now, it's a prophetic will of God. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 30 and see if those things be so. Jeremiah chapter 30. We're going to read just a few verses here. Now, when you think about that tribulation, this gives you the pinpoint of who it's for. And they, as a nation, are to expect this to happen to them. And Peter, by the Holy Spirit, makes it clear that they are to expect. That nation is subject prophetically to go through wrath and to be saved in it, to save them at wrath. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Now, look at what the tribulation is called here. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5 through 7. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. They, as a nation, are to be subject to the tribulation. It's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be a fiery trial. And so that's what that tribulation will be about. But what is God presently doing? We, right now, under the doctrine that he has given Paul about a dispensation of his grace, God is forming a body to be caught up to heavenly places, saved from the wrath to come. God is forming a body to be caught up to heavenly places, saved from the wrath to come. Now let's notice some scriptures about this. Let's notice some scriptures about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter, Romans chapter 5, 9. Therefore, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 10. A believer today who believes that Christ died for their sins, was buried and risen again, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't do anything by your works to buy yourself or bribe God to let you into heaven. His very law judges all mankind guilty. We're found guilty before God, and the only way we can be saved is by a righteous Savior who took our place in judgment and died for our sins. That righteous Savior has to be the God himself. And that's what Christ did. He is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But that's what it'll take. You have to trust that Christ died for your sins, was buried and risen again, and God will save you by his grace. The only way anybody can be saved, by his grace, not by your works. We are imperfect human vessels of a fallen creation, and the only way we can be saved is by the grace of God through faith. And so we look at here and what God says to the believer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. There's going to be wrath to come on this earth. But we are delivered in this dispensation of grace. Before his wrath, he's calling out people by his grace, by the gospel of his grace. Before he deals with man in his wrath, he's dealing with mankind through the glory of his full blessedness in a dispensation of grace. And this is the time to trust on Christ. And so that's what it is, to be saved from that wrath. And how will that be accomplished? In a glorious way that ends this dispensation. The very end of this dispensation will be in a glorious, abrupt way. And it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 and 18, we have words of comfort, not words of looking at for fiery trials. We have words of comfort. I mean, now we'll go through trials and things and troubles and tribulations in this life, but we won't go through the great tribulation. We won't go through the great temptation that shall come upon this earth. The tragic cataclysms of the tribulation is not for a believer who trusts on the blood of Christ. We'll be saved from the wrath to come. Verse 16 through 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, the Lord descends from the highest place in heaven, and we go to meet him where? In the air. And then what happens is, There'll be great tribulation on this earth, great trouble and cataclysms where multiples of millions of people are wiped from the face of the earth in tragic cataclysms. But what'll happen is after the tribulation, 7 years after those great and terrible times on the earth, then the Lord will come to the earth for his program with Israel. First, we meet him in the air, and sometime about 7 years, 7 years plus or so, he'll come down to earth and set up his kingdom on this earth. But it'll be after the great tribulation. We get to be caught up before that trouble starts. We are in a dispensation of his grace before the great tribulation on this earth. So that's the will of God, that we be saved now. Those that presently reject the gospel of his grace, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and risen again, those who reject that will go into wrath and be damned. And, you know, think about it. If a person doesn't believe when God is calling them in his grace, How is he gonna believe when if a person rejects the gospel when Christ calls them in his grace? What makes you think they're gonna believe on God when he calls out this world in the terrible wrath? They won't. This is what's gonna happen to them in the terrible wrath. For those who hear the gospel and reject it, this is what's gonna happen to them by the word of God here. Here it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll start at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and I'll read down to verse 12. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that sitteth, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that's the Antichrist. A falling away first, apostasy on, it will happen, and then that Antichrist will set up in a seat of authority, and people will love him because he'll be the man that the world is looking for, but he'll be the one who is a false god. He'll be the Antichrist, and the world will look up to him. And verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. After the body is gone from this earth, that wicked Antichrist is going to be revealed on this earth, and the world will be looking for some man of the flesh to look up to, and the devil will present his own man for the world, and they'll go to him, they'll cling to him, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The truth is, we're sinners. We can't save ourselves. The truth is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood at Calvary's cross, and died in our place for sins. And for our sins he died. And that he was buried and rose again, and showing the power of God and salvation toward anybody who believes. And so that's the truth, and that's what a person should understand and cling to, that fact that Christ died for our sins and was risen. But those who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, this is what that they get. Verse 11, and for this cause, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They're going to believe the lie of the Antichrist. And that's who they're going to cling to. And it'll be that they all might be damned. This is the time truly to believe on the blood of Christ for salvation. But you see there, the will of God presently is He's calling people out in His grace to be saved and caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, away from this earth, before that terrible tribulation comes on this earth. And when that tribulation comes, it'll be the time of Jacob's trouble. And those last nine writings, Hebrews through Revelation, will be the will of God on this earth. And the beloved now are the beloved of the body of Christ. The beloved then will be the beloved that concerning the kingdom purpose to Israel, prophesied. Right now, mystery revealed, body, beloved. After, kingdom of heaven, Israel, beloved, on earth. Kingdom of heaven on earth, Israel, beloved, of prophecy. So when you see Peter and James and John and Hebrews and Revelation talking of the beloved, you see those things, that's the context. It's the Israel of God in that prophetic plan in the time of Jacob's trouble. So there's a context to things in the God's Word which has to be concerned. We have to understand. And let's look at some more of that tribulation purpose of which Jude is a letter. And of the context of the beloved there, having to do with what context they're under. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And you see it here several times. Peter is addressing this group of Jewish kingdom saints as the beloved. But it's in a particular context. It's in a particular context. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. This is the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. This group of the beloved is under the things concerning the holy prophets. And this group of the beloved is under things concerning the commandments of the apostles, having to do with the 12 of which Peter was the leader. Remember, we talked about Matthew 19:28. Where they will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the 12 that was with Christ, plus Matthias, the one picked to take Judas's place. Paul is not of that number. Paul is a different apostle, brought out for a different purpose concerning the now body of Christ. So they were the beloved of the prophecy program. We are of the mystery. Notice how he says, to be mindful of the words spoken before of the holy prophets. That was their concern. But notice what is to us. Let's go to Romans. Romans, what establishes a believer today with this mystery dispensation of grace for Gentiles? What establishes a believer today? Verse 25. Notice Romans. No, Romans chapter 16. Verse 25, Romans. What establishes a believer day? Is it the prophecy program first? No. What establishes a believer first is right here in Scripture concerning, remember we read in Ephesians 3 about the mystery? Now to him, Paul is speaking, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. That's the appropriation of God today. The first get saved by what is in the Bible as my gospel. Paul, the gospel given Paul, that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and is risen. What a glorious gospel of the complete work of Christ for a sinner. And then, it's the next of importance, it's been grounded and settled in that which was given Paul, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. That was given Paul for the sake of the present body of Christ. Now, we saw what Peter said about remembering the words of the prophets. Remember, Peter talked about things known. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 21. The things of Peter, let's see what Peter says is to him. You see, we got to recognize the differences. Understand there are differences. If you see something different in the Bible, it's God administering something differently, and we have to know what administration of God we are under. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Look at what Peter has to say about his preaching. Talking of Jesus Christ, Peter says, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. No secret there. No mystery there. As you see, that Peter, the will of God under Peter, is the prophetic program to Israel. Things known since the world began. But look up there at 1625. Paul is about things which were kept secret since the world began. Revealed to Paul about a dispensation of grace. Different. Different. So, Peter talked about the beloved and to the beloved concerning the prophetic will of God that had to do with things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began, but we are under the administration of things given Paul for Gentiles, which concern a mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, now made manifest. Okay, now, in this chapter, going back to 2 Peter chapter 2, there the context of beloved is quite made clear to us, and the appropriation of things in Scripture is clearly delineated, and we can see in these Scriptures, let's go to verse 8, and we will read, 2 Peter chapter 3. My wife helped me. Thank the Lord for that. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And thank you, Dub, for... excuse me, folks. Thank you, Dub, for posting. We appreciate it. The saints here definitely appreciate somebody having the Word of God there for us to glorify the truth of God and His Word. And not just go by what I say. Here we go. Let's go to verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 17. We're going to read verses 8 through 17. And listen to what Peter talks about. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, and the earth also, and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holiness, in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with error of wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, there's a lot we can talk about there about the appropriation of God's purpose toward the kingdom and them being the beloved. They are to understand that the Lord is long suffering. Now, notice what they're to look for. All these physical things. They're to look for the things where the elements melt with a fervent heat. They're to look for, verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire. They're looking for all these physical things to happen, and the things related to the kingdom purpose on this earth of God creating a new heaven and a new earth. They were to look for the tribulation purpose of God, the things that God talked about of prophecy, the things of the terrible wrath of God coming and destroying all the things that are against God's will and setting up His kingdom, then setting up the time after His kingdom. That's what they're to look for. But notice, he in relation to the long suffering of God, he mentions our Apostle Paul and the doctrine of our Apostle Paul. Now, in relation to this, Paul, as we know from Galatians 2, went to tell the saints of Israel why their kingdom wouldn't be coming into play right away, why that time of Jacob's trouble, that tribulation that Christ prepared for them, wasn't going to come right away, because God had set up a dispensation of grace. Now, when Paul wrote things to them about making all men see the fellowship of the mystery, notice what Peter says about that. Verse 16, in speaking in them, as in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things to be hard to understand. Now, if they had the same doctrine, there would be nothing hard to be understood. But Peter makes it plain that some of the things Paul talks about are hard for them to be understood. They didn't wrestle with them, but they were hard to be understood because it was different. It was a different will of God, a dispensation of grace for Gentiles that would put back their kingdom plan until a later time. So Peter learned from Paul about the long suffering of the Lord concerning the things that were given to Paul about a mystery dispensation of grace for Gentiles, and that their kingdom would be put on hold, and so they would die off in that hope. But notice the doctrine of Peter. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with error of the wickedness, fall from your own steadfastness. This point that is about falling from their own steadfastness. You can read about that in Hebrews chapter 6 and 10 and 2. All those things related to enduring to the end in faith and works. Why? It has to do with a tribulation. That this doctrine written back in Acts will be the doctrine of the future tribulation. And so that will be a point for the future, when God's purpose will be for them to endure the great tribulation. And it's not a dispensation of grace that Peter is talking about. It's a dispensation of God's kingdom will for Israel. This is the doctrine for the future after the body of Christ is caught up. Hebrews through Revelation, those last nine writings of which Jude is a portion, talks to the beloved of the kingdom purpose for the future tribulation. So I hope these things will help, but we can go on. We have some more scriptures here. Let's go to, but the point is that, so we see that they are to be enduring to the end, the great tribulation. But what about us? In this present dispensation of grace, We, again, they are to be looking for and hastening unto the things concerning the fire, the heavens on fire, and the elements melting with a fervent heat thereof. They are to look for that thing and not fall from their steadfastness in looking for those things where the elements dissolve with a fiery heat thereof. But what about us? What are we to be waiting for? We're to be waiting for the rapture, the catching up of the body. Philippians 3. Let's look at what we're to be focused on in this dispensation of grace given Paul. Philippians 3, 20. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our conversation is where? In heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Wow! Man, oh man. Well, look at what we are to be looking for. Look at what our focus is. Here, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1-4. Are we to be looking for the heavens on the fire, the earth melting with the fervent heat thereof, the earth dissolving, then the elements dissolving? Are we to look for the hastening unto those things? No. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1-4 tells us again what we are to be looking for in this dispensation of grace. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Boom! Man, we'll be caught up into glory. Boom! The moment that the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed, and our vile body will be fashioned like unto his glorious body in the twinkling of an eye. Boom! When he appears, we'll also appear with him where? In glory. That's why we look for things above. We're not to look for things on earth. We're of that heavenly purpose of God, that body that will be caught up to fill the heavens above. Israel will be the reconciling of things of God on earth, and the body of Christ will be the reconciling of things in the heavens of creation. And God's government will be coordinated in creation with the body in the heavens above and Israel on earth in the ages to come. But that's what God is doing. He's forming a body to be his governmental authority in the heavens above. That's why we are to look to the heavens for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our inheritance is. And it's glorious. It's glorious, man. So we see a difference there. We're the beloved of the body of Christ to be caught up to heavenly places. And they're the beloved of God's purpose on this earth, where the terrible tribulations will come, and the elements will dissolve, and a new heaven and a new earth will be made, wherein is dwelleth righteousness. And that they're to look for those physical things here on earth. We're to be looking to the heavens, to where we'll be caught up to be in our heavenly places, looking for and being anticipating of that glorious rapture of the body of Christ. Set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Okay, that's where we are the beloved of, a different concern there. I got some more scriptures, so I'm going to take another week on this, but let's go to one more set here. Let's go back to Hebrews through Revelation, and we'll read something. We'll go to the letters of John. I think we'll do that next week. I think I'll stop right here. And thank you, folks, for coming in. Grace and peace to all the saints who are here. And welcome to those who may not believe but are here to concerned about the things of God. We thank you all who come here. And we thank the folks for being here.